Om Shanti. This evening's topic is tasting the sweetness of love. And there couldn't be a better speaker for this topic than Brother Charlie. He is definitely very experienced in Baba's love. I experience him as someone who personally has a very intensely loving relationship with Baba, who is able to dive into the ocean of love, absorb that love, and then emerge as an embodiment of love. And Charlie's love story with Baba began in the early 1970s in London with Daddy Junkie. Then he went back to Australia and is, I'm not quite sure about your responsibilities, but in that whole region, Charlie carries huge responsibility. And I personally never get tired of listening to Charlie talking about love. So, tasting the sweetness of love. Enjoy it.
Om Shanti. And thank you so much, Gudrun, for your loving welcome. And it's really so special to see such a big group here at the moment. I was told that this is the largest group of the season, largest group of double foreigners this season. So beautiful to be in the gathering. So first of all, I hope everyone's warming up. Is everyone warming up? That's good. Anyone still trying to warm up a little bit? There's a few. Actually, this topic of the theme of the season, I really love. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but each year, the RC group creates a theme for regional retreats and also for the double foreigner season, and many people have input. And in past years, it often took quite some time to finalize something. But this year, with this theme, it just happened so quickly. Everyone said, living with limitless love, yes, that's the subject. And to me, tasting the sweetness of love is the real Raj Yoga. Because I feel that the most natural thing in all of us, in our DNA, the programming in each human soul is to fall in love. No one has to teach us how to do it. And the more I go on in my journey with Baba, I feel this is the method of Brahma Baba, of Mama, of the daddies. And I often mention this these days, that I feel that this life is really to naturally fall in love with Shiv Baba. And that is the seed that my entire Brahman life is built on. Because I feel when I naturally fall in love and I really have that sweet taste inside myself, then I naturally remember. It's a natural consequence of love that I remember the one I love. And when I naturally remember, I naturally transform. When I'm remembering the one who is incorporeal and egoless, almost automatically that process begins within me. And when I naturally transform, I naturally serve who I am as a person. My vibrations, my face, my drishti, my presence just naturally uplifts and transforms the atmosphere. And love is really a universal language. And I think in all languages, is there a subject that has been written more about than love? I don't think so. In all languages, is there a subject that has been sung more about than love? I don't think so. In all languages, is there a subject spoken more about than love? I don't think so, because it's the pinnacle human experience and the most life-transforming human experience, the taste or the feeling of true love. And this is why I think it's Baba's main subject. And once a sister was telling me that she researched all the Avyaktmolis, and in her research she said that the main subject that Baba talks about is love. Because I feel it's the seed of a natural process of change in this confluence age. And the sanskara of bhakti and devotion is, you know, force, effort, pushing myself, etc. And one steady Jenki said something which really has always remained with me, that the ultimate result of all knowledge is to be completely loving. Do you love that? I do. In other words, when I absorb God's truth into the core of my being, how does it come out? Do I become a great philosopher, a great intellectual? Or how does it come out? It comes out as love. It goes in as truth, and it comes out as love. And I remember once we had a conference in Melbourne. It was the World Parliament of Religions. I'm sure quite a few of us have attended one of them. And Daddy Jenki came to the one in Melbourne, which was, I don't know how long ago, but maybe 14 years ago. And she was in a session with a lot of religious leaders. In fact, she was in many sessions. And I remember in one of the sessions, one of the speakers said there's three things. There's information, knowledge, and wisdom. And he said of himself, I have a lot of information, a little knowledge, and no wisdom. I think he was being quite humble, really. But you know, if you Google the word love, which I've done a few times, you get billions and billions of results, hundreds. It's just unbelievable. So it shows you that, you know, it tells me a lot, just the yearning in life for love. Knowledge, there's so many ideas, theories, beliefs, psychology around love. But the wisdom of love is really to taste the sweetness of love and express it in life. And I honestly believe there's no more beautiful life than when I'm really in love and sharing love. That, I think, is the feeling that I don't need anything. I have everything I need. I feel completely full. And Baba has sometimes said that love is the greatest attainment. And if I observe my own journey, and what I really love about our life with Baba is that sometimes I sort of feel I'm slightly detached from myself, watching my own process, my own journey, my own inner learning. And in doing that, observing my own responses and reactions to all sorts of things in life. But what I do observe is that when the heart feels love, you know, when you sometimes sit in Baba's remembrance and there's just that incredibly sweet taste of the purity and truth of belonging to Baba, I find my whole inner world sort of softens. It just cools down. It softens. I feel so easy about things, so relaxed, content, I would say. And there's no doubt my attitude to others changes. I think my attitude becomes a lot more understanding and compassionate. And, you know, sometimes I think that the most powerful thing is a loving heart. A loving heart can break down barriers, fill empty hearts, heal hearts in pain. And a truly loving heart can touch places in people that nothing else can touch. It's an incredible power. And I sometimes think when I see Baba up on stage, what is it that, you know, 35,000 people, whatever, come from all corners of this country and the world? It's Baba's love that is the great attraction. And yet, on the other hand, this observer of the self and observes sometimes that if the heart lacks love, my observation is the mind can never rest. It's almost like there's an agitation. The mind is seeking, searching, looking. It can never just relax. Something is missing. The first need in life is love. The first desire is love. And if that love isn't tasted, I think we compensate or with so many other desires. So many other desires kick in. The desire for recognition, the desire for praise, the desire to be acknowledged, the desire for control, the desire for power, the desire for material things, these endless desires, I often feel kick in to sort of compensate, because the ultimate first need of all of us to be truly loved, you know, that first human right, often I believe it's the first human right, isn't there. And so the mind is always seeking, searching, looking, where can I taste? Because all of us are old souls, and it's written in our memory track, the perfection of love. Each one of us has tasted the absolute perfection of love. And that's why this constant journey to find that. And in a sense, you know, when I started, one of my first experiences was just feeling that incredible love from Baba. And you know the first thought that came to my mind? I've come home. Home is that place of belonging with Baba in that sense. And yet, you know, we live in a world with so many crises, you know, and how many crises are there? We read about them every day, environmental poverty, violence, you know, there's numerous lists of crises. But, you know, sometimes I think that the greatest crisis is a lack of true love. And this crisis sort of flows into all our relationships. My experience is, wherever you go in the world, scratch the surface of people, and inside is this so many stories of hurt and pain around a lack of love in life, or a perceived lack of love and fulfillment in life. There's so much hurt around this. And if you really look at this time in which we're living in the world, it's the first time in human history that we're seeing the breakdown of the family, as far as I'm aware. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm afraid my throat's a bit like this. It's the first time in human history we're watching the breakdown of the family. And what is the family? The family is that social support unit that, you know, provides nutrients to my heart, that love, that belonging, that care, that comfort. It provides that nurturing atmosphere to really hold the heart. And yet the family is breaking down. And so many people, I'm also amazed sometimes that we live in these huge cities, these massive cities, tens of millions sometimes, and yet so many feel so alone, so disconnected. And yet there's people everywhere around me. But even mental health, there's so many reasons. And even this morning there was a session. But I remember once Daddy Jenki saying, I asked her a question about mental health from a spiritual perspective. And she said, there's two reasons. A lack of love in this life and a lack of love in a past life. Well, there are many other reasons, but really I feel there's so much truth in that, that when the soul isn't nurtured or doesn't taste the sweetness of love, it distorts my thinking, it distorts my perception of almost everything, myself and my relationships with others as well. And so, so many crises that, you know, we experience as a result of really a lack of true love, a lack of experience of quality love in life. And so we really yearn for that purity of love that Baba provides. But what sort of love did we receive? Because we have this memory of that perfection of love, and yet often in this life, it's been anything but that. And we do receive love, but it's quite polluted. It's a polluted sort of love. And one of the main sort of types of love all of us have experienced is conditional love. And I often feel that's like a tap you turn on and off. I'll love you, I'll turn on the tap, but you have to do what I want, you know, or I'll turn off the tap. And so it's like love that comes with a whole lot of conditions and clauses and subclauses. I will give love as long as you behave or you respond in the way I like. And so the result is it is love, but love with a lot of control and manipulation. Or even selfish love. And I think even Baba talks about this a lot. You know, Baba once said that if we don't like somebody, it's a form of selfishness because they don't behave in the way I like. I have a sort of perception of what is good behavior and how people will be. And when they don't match up to that level, then Baba said, I have a dislike of them. But sometimes I also think that when there's no love inside, all I can think about is you loving me. So my whole life is that you have to provide my needs. And so sometimes there's such high expectations. Some people have such high expectations of how you should be caring for me, you should be loving me, and are almost permanently disappointed because no one can really live up to that expectation. Even, I would say, superficial love, which I think, excuse me, is so much a part of the world in which we live. Sometimes I used to think of relationships like an iceberg. Not that they're cold, but, you know, the old iceberg theory, the 10% above the water and 90% below. And so in a sort of the superficial world, we see the 10%. Oh, I like that. That looks nice, you know, and we're attracted to that 10%. But what happens as you get to know people? What's the old saying? Familiarity breeds, it's a horrible word, contempt. It's a very strong word. But as we get to know people, the 90% of the water, the personality, you know, the real nature of other people starts to move towards the surface. And then you start to feel, oh, I'm not sure I really like this. And then we blame them rather than realizing my sort of superficial or body conscious approach. I didn't really see the whole person or understand the whole story of that person. Even, I would say, dependent love too. You know, sometimes I think the biggest challenge for most of us has been to really have a genuinely stable, sustainable, loving relationship with myself. That seems to be the biggest challenge for almost the whole human race. And when I can't love myself, I become so dependent on you providing the love for me. And sometimes those relationships become a little bit like a love-hate relationship. I love you because you're giving me support, but I've lost my freedom within this relationship. And so you receive love, but it's been so sort of mixed and polluted, and yet really I think we search for true love. And sometimes I feel the subtext of human life is this search to find that quality of love that I remember from last cycle. Even in a family, in relationships, there's still this search to find that quality of love. And what do we do? What have we done in our lives? We invest our heart in relationships. It's the most natural thing to do. We all do it. But there's a huge human dilemma, and that is that no relationship is permanent. No relationship is permanent. Whether it's time, whether it's change, whether it's conflict, whether it's death, the object of my love will go. And that's why I think We've developed so much fear and insecurity around love. Whenever I come into a relationship, the subconscious mind, the sanskaras of the past kick in. So much insecurity about losing this love or fear of loss of this love. And I think that this is why all of us, I feel for me, when I came to Baba, it was such a powerful experience that the one relationship that's permanent is the relationship with Baba. And to me, this is such a seed of the deep healing that Baba is always there. Baba is always there. And I begin to learn how to access that unlimited source of love at any time, whenever I need to. There's three sources of love, I feel. There's from myself, from Baba, from God, and from others. And before we came to Baba, most of us, I think, had this struggle with this relationship with myself. So most of us, I feel, didn't have a very loving relationship with the self. Often a very negative relationship with myself. So not much love coming from me. From God, you know, a lot of people had faith in God, but I don't feel really would experience a real taste of the sweetness, a faith, a belief, yes, but to really taste a tangible sweetness of love, I don't think so. So my one source of love was my family and friends. And if there was some upheaval in the family or conflict with a friend or a partner, it's like my whole life goes into chaos. And this is, I feel that what Baba has come to do is to put down two powerful anchors that make me so stable. And that first anchor is to have a loving relationship with myself as a soul. This is really the first step of true spirituality. To have a deeply loving relationship with myself as a soul. And the second, a deeply loving relationship with Baba, the Supreme Soul. And when I put those anchors down, it's like a platform that cannot be shaken. And to me, this is Baba's method to really make us unshakable and immovable, because those two relationships are permanent. They are always there. No matter how much changes around me, no matter how much people change, personalities change, there's opinions, whatever goes on, when I do the work to create that loving relationship with myself and that loving relationship with Baba, it's like I create this deep foundation that I start to build a real inner stability, and the fear and insecurity of losing this love starts to go. And so this search for true love, we come in front of Baba and we really begin to taste it. And I remember once when I was about 30 years, not about, I was when I had my 30th birthday, we were in the Diamond Hall and Baba asked all the double foreigners who've been in Gyan for 30 years to stand up. So we stood up and Baba gave us drishti and said some nice things. And then Baba said, set a date for perfection. And afterwards we were talking, this little group, how do you set a date for perfection? You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think Baba wants us to have such an aim, a clear aim of where I'm going. Because I think the bhakti sanskara is just to turn up at the temple, you know, just go through the motions, turn up for the muli. I'm just sort of going along. I just sort of go along within my Brahman journey. But Baba really wants us to have a tangible aim. But then we began to talk about perfection. What is perfection? Because it's a very frothy term. It's a nebulous term, you know. What does perfection look like in a practical way? The next Moli, Baba said, something like, love in the heart is the easy method to become complete and perfect. Love in the heart is the easy method to become complete and perfect. Baba said, perfection is to have loving feelings for everyone. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? We live in a world with 8 billion human souls. Every single one has a different set of sanskaras and perceptions and behavior. Baba is really encouraging us to reach this place that I can interact with every single human soul with a loving feeling, which is almost the opposite of how most of us were, where we found ourselves constantly internally reacting to people and behaviors. And then Baba went on to say that the qualifications of a soul with self-respect. And Baba said, the one with self-respect can respect everyone. The one with self-respect will be humble. The one with self-respect will be loving and loved by all. Baba said, to the extent I have self-respect, I will be loving and I will be loved by all. And then Baba went on to say, not just loving to some, but loving to everybody. I remember this Muli so well. And then Baba said, Baba is the one who loves everyone the most. Well, we all know that. Baba loves everyone the most. And then Baba said, follow the Father. Have loving feelings for everyone. And you know how sometimes Baba would speak and then have silence. And then Baba said, hold the specialties of everyone in your attitude. So in a sense that the feelings that we're giving to others, you know, the feelings of belonging, the feelings of respect, the feelings of care, those feelings are conveyed through my attitude. And then Baba went silent once again. And then he said, love in the heart is the foundation of Brahman life. Love of the heart is the foundation. Then he went silent again and gave drishti. And then he said, do you have so much love for the Brahman family? Are you loving? Are you loving to everyone? Do you think this is my brother, this is my sister? Do you give the feelings of belonging? I remember how the way Baba was doing this, and it's like Baba taking us back to who we were originally. We have all lived in an environment of absolute love. We've all got our sanskaras of the golden age. And Baba's coaching us to return to that place, because I find for me, in this self-observation, even if I'm slightly critical, negative about somebody, deep down, love for myself reduces. You know? It definitely goes down, because somehow I know it's against my truth. My truth is to have those feelings. And yet, sometimes when I get caught in the critical feelings, and even more so when I start to speak in a negative way about others, watch the effect on your relationship with yourself. There's no doubt it affects how you feel about yourself. You don't feel so good about who you are. And in that Muli, Baba also said something like, the reason you labor in Brahman life, sometimes the reason is just sort of tough or hard work, it's laborious, even a bit boring, is a lack of true love. And when you really think of it, how do you feel when you taste that sweetness of love? It's almost like a natural enthusiasm. You know that it's a natural enthusiasm. It was really amazing how Baba was saying that. And Sometimes I've reflected on all those words of Baba and really where he's taking us. He really wants to take us to this sort of state of, you know, tasting the sweetness of love and sharing the sweetness of love. To me, that is the most beautiful life and a very powerful thing. And in the four subjects, I think, in a way, they're all taking us to this place of true love. Sometimes I think, what is meditation? What is meditation? When we teach others, we give a very technical explanation. To me, the most simple form of meditation is to become a little child and sit in front of Baba and allow myself to be completely loved. Completely loved. Nothing makes me stronger, healthier, and happier when I taste that feeling. Then what is knowledge? Knowledge is observing, once again, this gentle observation of my inner process. Where do I block that love? If I have found the love I've looked for half a cycle, if I'm sitting in front of the lover of the soul, which all of us have, you know, searched for so long, and I can't really feel that love, I wouldn't panic. I think it's our journey, because there's such a deep sense of inferiority, a deep sense of not being pure enough, a deep sense that I'm not good enough to be loved by this being. And to me, this is the deep work of Brahman life, to really start to remove these blocks that I hold in myself so that I can taste that perfection of love. And then the transformation process, I feel, really is a natural consequence of feeling that love. And it's deep. We all know it's deep. Sometimes I'm sitting in front of Baba and I can feel dry. And yet if we work at it, and I think this is something that is so important, to really feel it's my right. I sometimes feel Avyak Bap Dada, when he comes, he is just trying to give us so much love and tell us, children, you have a right to everything I have. It's my right to be loved. But this sanskara of bhakti, the sense of inferiority, the sense that I'm not pure, the sense that I'm not good enough, is so powerful. I'm sitting in front of the love I've looked for, and I can't taste it to its full extent. And this is our journey. This is our journey to really remove whatever is there and taste that quality of love. And what is service? You know, I think it's the main service is just to be really loving. And once Daddy Jenki was in Australia and we had a call of time, and there was a lady who was close to us. She's a politician and very lovely person, and her name is Kay. And Daddy said to her, Daddy Jenki, Kay, you should become the daddy of Australia. And Kay is sort of a politician, right? So she said, okay, Daddy, well, what's the job description of a daddy? And, you know, what do daddies do? And Daddy Jenki said, oh, just love everybody. It's true, right? I mean, really, you think when there's one soul that just emanating that elevated feeling of that rainbow of feelings in that love, which is belonging, care, respect, compassion, understanding, all those flavors, what the effect it has is absolutely powerful. Baba has that effect on us, and Baba wants us to have that effect on others as well. And so even I think the four subjects, really, you know, love is the great power of all those four subjects as well. And yet really tasting the sweetness of love, to me there's probably three main things. And the first one is really loving Baba as a soul. And that's a huge journey, really, when we have been loving through our sense organs and loving others, you know, seeing their human form. That's our programming for half a cycle, to renegotiate a relationship, to have a living, real, loving relationship with a soul without a body. We all know that's a huge journey. And one of the stories I remember, I think Sister Genty was telling us, probably heard this, but I always enjoy it. There's many versions of all these stories. It was in 1968 when Baba called all the senior sisters from around India to have a seminar in Pandav Bhavan. And it was in the history hall, and the seminar was on remembrance. I really love that. We have seminars on all sorts of things. And Baba went right round the room to each of the daddies, you know, said, how much do you love Baba? How much do you love? How much do you remember Baba? How much do you remember Baba? Went right round the room. And when it came to Daddy Prakashmani, she said 1 hour a day. And whenever I share this, it made me feel really good when I heard that. I think you know what I mean. But I feel there's two types of relationship or love, in a sense. There's indirect love or devotional love, love based on a belief, the belief that God is the ocean of love. The second one is direct love, spiritual love, the love of a yogi. And this is where I learned the art of becoming a bodiless soul. That amazing Muli we heard yesterday, Baba reminding us, I literally have done the work to know how to just step back, let go, withdraw, and taste the self as this minute eternal seed. Because I find the more I'm in that space, I enter Baba's world. I'm really present in Baba's world. And the personality of Baba, the whole presence of Baba, the reality of the relationship gets stronger. And then the love also builds, like resonating on that same frequency. And when I feel at the heart of this life, ultimately what God teaches us is to have all relationships with this soul. It's the ultimate healing in this life. Because when I have all relationships with the one who's incorporeal, egoless, and viceless, what do I become? Once again, this natural, it's a natural process of change. I just have to love that being, and the healing begins to naturally happen within me. But the challenge for us is that we do love Baba. That's why we're all sitting here. We have deep love with Baba. But we are programmed to have dependent human relationships. And so, on the one hand, I'm remembering the one who's, you know, incorporeal, egoless, and viceless, and I'm moving in that direction. And almost in a millisecond, the subtle thread connects with a human being and my relationship. And when I do, it's almost like I reconnect with all my old story, all my old sanskaras, all the impurity of the second half of the cycle. So I give power back to my impurity. And I really feel sometimes it's why we don't really feel, with all the effort we make, all the principles we follow, that I'm not really moving forward like I feel I should. Because on the one hand, I remember Baba. On the other hand, I remember bodily beings. And that just keeps taking me back under the influence of a set of sanskaras that I've created over half a cycle. And empowers, it's like it gives power back to my body consciousness. So it's like, you know, two steps forward, one step back. It's like I don't feel I'm moving in the way that I really would like to. And I think that this, you know, relationship with Baba as a soul, and the more I'm really on that soul level, the love is tangible, the sweetness is tangible, the purity of this love, I feel, is probably the most precious experience in the whole cycle, to taste this quality of love. But the second step is really loving myself as a soul too. And this is, I feel, first we love Baba. And when we really taste that love, that starts to change the dynamics of my relationship with myself. It's such a huge subject, reforming this damaged relationship with myself. And when I'm body conscious, it gives birth to two children, the ego of superiority and the ego of inferiority. And the law says that the more ego, the less love. Really, the more ego I have, the less love I experience in life. And what is the role of ego? What is ego's part? I feel the role of ego, it makes you feel separate. It makes you feel you don't belong. It whispers in your ear, you know, you're not wanted, you're not good enough, you know. It has such a powerful effect. And often it's just had such an effect on me that I feel separate from my true self. I feel separate from Baba. I feel separate from truth. I feel separate. I just feel disconnected and separate. That's the part that ego has played. And love is the part that dissolves. And I think Baba's way is I don't have to try to dissolve my ego. I have to really fall in love. And the more I love, automatically almost the ego, the part of ego that always tells me you don't belong, people don't want you, you're excluded. You know, there's feelings of disconnection and separation, which creates so much unhappiness and sorrow in life. And when those feelings come, often we think they're real. I'm convinced they're real. But actually, most of them are creation of my own body conscious ego collected. And the more I have love for those feelings start to reduce within the self. And I feel, you know, much, I think, closer to Baba as well. And then the third thing, and tasting the sweetness of love, is that to have those loving relationships with others. And to me, that it's in order. First with Baba, second with the self. I've laid the platform. And then I can really, really create these loving relationships with others. And as Baba was saying, perfection is to have loving relationships with everyone. And I've thought a lot about this. And one of the feelings for me in the last few years is this time we're coming into is the final period of the cycle. I think we all feel it. And I feel probably the most powerful virtue to help me at this time is to be detached. But Baba's detachment, to be detached and loving, or loving and detached. And I remember once Baba said, to be truly loving, you have to be detached. Because detachment protects my ability to love. Because when I'm detached, I can love you when you're good, you're easy, you're light, you're happy. But when I'm detached, I can also love you when you're going through your challenging times too. I'm consistent. So it's not that I love you when you're good and as soon as your behavior changes, I change my feelings towards you. And this is why we love Baba, because Baba's love is consistent. No matter how much we fluctuate, Baba's love is consistent. It's always there. And one of the expressions I find really fascinating is when Baba says children create a loving intellect. And this is completely different from a body conscious intellect. A body conscious intellect is very emotional. It's an intellect that's absolutely deceived by the waves of emotion. Something happens and this wave of emotion comes through and my whole head changes, my whole understanding of somebody or a situation is completely deceived by emotion. Because a loving intellect means love based on truth. Love based on truth. And so when I have a loving intellect, I know your goodness. And even if you fluctuate, go up and down, I maintain that vision. And I think that's what sustains so many of us, is that Baba's drishti on us is constant. He knows, he sees deep, he knows the value, he knows the beauty. And no matter how much we may fluctuate, Baba's drishti remains stable on the beauty within the soul. And this is what Baba wants us to do. And I feel that if we have that spiritual power, and there's no doubt, it takes a lot of spiritual power to know the value of another and train myself to see that part in that person, I think we can't underestimate the incredible influence that drishti can have on another person. And, you know, to have these loving feelings for everyone. I don't know your observation of the daddies, but all of them I found their last few years, they just, you know, had so much love. You know, even when I started, they were quite strict often. But I found after a while, they just became so loving, just completely loving in their final stage. And that love, I think, had an incredible influence on everyone. And really this morning's Muli, I was really special, I found, when, you know, Baba was reminding us, you know, to love others as souls. Now that sounds the most simple thing, you know, oh yeah, we know that. But what was Baba saying, you know, we're not sisters and brothers, we're souls, you know. How deep is the name and form, the impression of the name and form on us? And yet, we are all souls. How much in all these years do I really see the soul? I remember in Sakha Moli sometimes, it's a theme that Baba has taken up over weeks. And of many times Baba says, children, this is the highest effort. After half a cycle of the drishti of the vision of the body to retrain myself, to see beyond all the conditions of the body and have a vision of truth, of seeing the other as a soul. When I look at my journey, when I started, I just used to imagine the soul, you know? You see the body, really, quite body conscious, but you imagine a little spark sitting somewhere in there. I think you all know where I'm coming from. And then the more you experience detachment from your own body, you taste the feeling of being a bodiless soul, then you start to see the bodiless soul, more detached from the body and the conditions of the body. But I feel, for me, what really shifted this vision on others was trying or seeing the incorporeal soul. The soul is a distinct energy from matter. It's completely different. And almost how the incorporeal, the non-physical, sits in the physical and acts through it. And the more I feel I'm incorporeal, I feel separate from this, I can see you separate from your body too. And then I began to experiment, not only trying to see the other as an incorporeal soul, and that incorporeal soul has no label of gender, of color, of age, nothing. It's amazing. It's beyond all those conditions. And then to begin to think that within that incorporeal point is an eternal part which is never, ever going to change. And sometimes when I think that, why am I reacting? Why am I taking sorrow? The part is the part. And it's like, if I don't accept it now, I'm never going to accept it. And I sometimes also feel that, you know, if I find it hard to accept other people and their parts, their behavior, I think often it is related that I find it hard to accept my own part still too. The more I feel completely comfortable, I accept my part in this eternal drama. Not only accept I enjoy my part, I can start to accept everyone else's part. It's a play, it's a game. Everyone is this eternal point with this eternal part. And when I have that sort of vision of knowledge, that vision of wisdom, I can really begin to accept others. And I feel it's a decision in Brahman life, a very important decision, to make, have this decision that I'm going to see the value in everybody. And that, well, this is one of the deepest changes or self-attention, because the habit is just to go to the weakness, go to the defect, go to the memory of what they did or what they said or what happened. And yet to really see the other's qualities and positive things, I think is probably one of the most powerful ways to enjoy Brahman life and be happy. It's like a decision. Everyone has a set of weaknesses. Everyone has a set of shortcomings, defects. We all do. But everyone has their original qualities and their beauty too. What am I going to focus on? And that decision to make the decide, I'm going to actually see the value in others, that love, that loving drishti, that sweetness, that I think has a huge effect on my experience in Brahman life. And I remember at Dadiji's funeral, a whole lot of us went into Dadiji's meeting hall, and people were sharing stories of Dadiji. It was just magical. And little Mahini came, who was her Brahmani for so many years and shared the same room with her. And she said that Daddy never spoke badly of anybody. And I thought, whoa, amazing, you know, that she said she shared a room and Daddy only saw the good in other people. And to me, that is such an important step to really putting myself in a place to taste the sweetness of love in relationships, because the law of life really says, if you give love, you will receive love. That's the law of life. And it's like a blessing. We receive the blessings from the hearts of everybody. And so love is an incredible power to me, the great power of the confluence age. And that seed, once again, is to really taste, really fall in love with Shiv Baba. That's probably our biggest challenge. How do I do that? And that's our constant learning. So I'm looking at the time, and I don't know whether for 5 minutes till we start meditation.
Thank you so much, Charlie. Absolutely beautiful and true. Are there any questions? There are 5 minutes.
The Murli that you were quoting, what's the date of that Murli? You remembered it so well.
You know, I'm one of those, I don't know what you're like, but I'm so good at memory of some things and I'm so hopeless at some things and dates. I, you know, sometimes when I visited somewhere, I'm not sure whether it was 2 years ago or 10 years ago. So I'm afraid I can't remember, but it was a very, very lovely Murli, very sweet.
Charlie, I'd just like you to complete that part you mentioned earlier where Baba said, give me a date, which seemed to activate all of that thought and change. So what date did you give?
I have to confess, I didn't give a date. But it's an interesting idea, isn't it? Because we began to say or talk about was, Baba really wants us to see, have a vision of where I'm going, a really clear idea that this is where I want to reach in my Brahman life, or a stage, or a transformation. And when we were discussing, we're thinking, we just get into this pattern. We just go along. We just turn up for Amrit Vela. We turn up for the Muli. We do sort of remember Baba. But it's really just a bit, and this is very much devotional sanskaras. You just turn up, you know. And you sort of feel semi-content that I'm doing that. But I don't have a really clear vision of the person I want to be. And I think Baba is trying to encourage us to actually, do that so that I can see tangible steps towards my destination.
The question relates to literally your last line of the class about love for Shiv Baba. How do you trigger the emotion of love for Baba more consistently, more intensely, for a long period of time?
How do you trigger that love for Baba more consistently? You know, you can only love someone who's lovable. And do I really experience how lovable Shiv Baba is? That no one really is as lovable as Baba. And, you know, once I was reflecting on this, that our, you know, a lot of us have, we're all old souls, we've done a lot of bhakti. And in bhakti, there's been fear of God, there's been fear of God's judgment, because religions taught all this stuff that God will punish you, God will judge you, God. And wherever there's fear, it suppresses love in a way. And I sometimes wonder whether subtly we carry those sort of things. And that's where the Baba we know is so different from the Baba of devotion, because the Baba we know is totally and utterly loving. And so have I really understood how lovable? I have to make Baba, he's so attractive. You know, in a sense, you know, we love little children, little tiny children, because they're so innocent, they're so authentic, they're so pure, and that automatically attracts love. It's a natural consequence. Have I found how innocent Baba is, and yet he's so knowledgeful? You know, how absolutely authentic and real. All of these things sort of build up a relationship so that, you know, it's actually so that it triggers a natural sense of relationship and love with Baba. But the reality is it's all a journey. We're all on the journey. We're all, and I just think no matter what, just keep going, you know, because we all know sometimes you seem to fly ahead, sometimes you hit a brick wall, sometimes it seems going backwards a bit, but the main thing is to keep going, because I think the reality of Shiv Baba, you know, and who he is, and he's not a belief or a concept or an intellectual idea. Baba is a real living being, but not having a human form around him. He did for a while when he was in Sakha. And sometimes I think, you know, those souls who lived with Baba in Karachi for 14 years, they saw the personality coming through Brahma Baba. How much did they love him? They had such deep love, because that purity of that personality they engage with. But we have to educate ourselves how to really tap into that lovability of Baba. I don't think that's an English word, but still, I made it up. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock and maybe we can have some meditation. And this is another question or comment.